Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope you guys are doing well. We are in the month of March. How about that for the month of March, all my friends over in Taylor and Talbot County? What's up, Marion County? All my people over in Buena Vista, I hope you guys are doing well. We are kicking off the month of March here on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. And as many of you know, and as I stated last week, this is Women's History Month, but we're going to blend it a little bit. I'm kind of still celebrating Black History Month myself, and so I'm going to continue to celebrate because, you know, Black History is 365 days a year and 366 on a leap year. So we're going to continue with that theme, and as we focus on Women's History Month and Black History, I'm excited about my guest that I have today. Many people know her as a force here in the community, someone who has stood up and fought for so many, someone who has educated so many here and taught so many other people's children right from wrong, keeping them on the right path and making sure that their mindsets were in the right place to be successful in society. And so with that said, we're going to go ahead and get my guest on for today. I am excited to have with me Miss Gloria Battle. How you doing today, Miss Battle?
Oh, I'm fine, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Miss Battle, I am so excited that you are here, and I'm glad that you're here, and we are blessed to have you here. You know, and I know you're very, 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 very busy lady. I mean, you never slow down, Miss Battle.
Well, sometimes it's not too good to slow down.
That's right. That's
because right. At some point, if the Lord allows you to still live, that's going to slow you down.
That is right.
I tell you, so true. You have to go while you're here.
You have to go, and that is absolutely true. And He is certainly continuing to bless you. And so that is just so awesome. So thank you so much again.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me to be here today.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and get started here. Now, Ms. Battle, a little bit about your background. Now, you are a 1957 graduate of Alabama State University.
Oh, yes.
There was a lot going on in Montgomery in 1957.
Oh, yes.
What are some of the things that you remember while you were in school there?
The bus boycott.
Wow. Okay.
That was truly exciting.
You know, Miss Battle, I recently took a trip to the museum over in Montgomery.
The Rosa Parks Museum?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And I have been informed of the bus cut through history. However, I did not know the details of it like I learned visiting that museum.
Oh, yes.
The organization that went on in the Black community, not just at one level, but the wealthiest of the Black folks in the city down to those that are barely making it every month, check to check.
Yes.
You know, they work together.
Oh, yeah.
They cooperate together. Tell us about that.
Well, it was very exciting because I lived on campus. Mm-hmm. Which means I lived in the dormitory.
Yes, ma'am.
But there were students who were enrolled there who lived in the city. But I was fortunate to have always had relatives in Montgomery, Alabama, and they were educators. One of my cousins who lived on Grove Street at the time, they have all passed away now, but one of my cousins was a dear friend of Rosa Parks. I had a chance to meet Rosa Parks personally at my cousin's house.
Wow.
Because back in the day, we went to Montgomery every Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't know much about football, but we went to see the parade.
Yes, ma'am.
And we were there for the parade early morning on Thanksgiving Day. And when we left the parade, we went to our cousin's house for dinner, for Thanksgiving dinner.
Now, that was the parade for the Turkey Day Classic.
Yeah.
With Alabama State and Tuskegee.
Played Tuskegee.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And when we would leave the parade, as I said, we went to our cousin's house for the Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. And they always had very important people over for dinner. So I had a chance to meet Rosa Parks personally at my cousin's house.
What was she like?
Well, she was just a very friendly lady. And, you know, she was out of Tuskegee territory, Macon County. And she was just a friendly person. And my cousins, like I said, always had what we call very important people over for Thanksgiving dinner. And it was just a great fellowship. It was like a family reunion every Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. But those were my grandfather's relatives who had moved from Russell County down in the Pittsview and the Glenbrook area. They went different places. And when we started having a family reunion, we found a lot of our Blandon cousins spread throughout the United States.
Now, I'm sure the Rosa Parks during that time period in the late 50s, she has, at that moment, she hadn't elevated to the Rosa Parks that we celebrate today.
No, she had not.
And so, you know, regular folks are the ones that become our heroes in
history. Oh, yeah. And she was regular. And this was just the day that she felt she didn't feel the need to jump up just because somebody said move so somebody else can sit down when she was already seated. So when we got the news about that, we got excited. And being a student on campus, the teachers readily let us know, if you go downtown, don't go alone. Go in groups. So if something happened to you, somebody can get back to the campus and let us know. Because
Is that type of environment for the students?
Well, yes, because, see, a lot of times students would go downtown, and there was one street downtown where African-Americans were not, you know, the stores didn't serve us.
Yes, ma'am.
But then there were other areas. So what the people in the dorms were doing, they knew that they were responsible for us, and they were responsible to our parents. So yes, they were letting us know, don't get out of here and get hurt, because we have to report to your parents as to what happened to you. And that kept the students conscious of, you know, if you're going to go downtown, go in groups. So if something happened to somebody, at least somebody can run back to the campus and let us know.
You know, I imagine this had to be a very tense time.
Oh, it was
HBCUs
tense.
Because
yeah.
you had the North Carolina A&T 4
yeah.
that was sitting in at the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And all across the nation, you had students at HBCUs that were organizing protests. And I remember around this time, Miss Albany State University, she participated in protests, and she was expelled from school.
Oh, yes.
And they came back and gave her honorary degree.
Yes.
For being expelled from school. What was it like being a student? Did you guys feel threatened on campus?
Well, really and truly, we didn't feel threatened. For some reason or another, you know, sometimes you're too young to really
just a,
still be scared.
Naive. right. You're naive to the threats, that is.
Yes,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And, well, every night in the community, they would have mass meetings at the various churches. But girls could not go, but the boys could go.
Why and girls couldn't go?
Because you had to be in the dorm at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, they made.
Yeah.
Oh, and boys didn't have to be in.
And
at
boys
night.
Didn't have to be in at any time. They didn't want to be in. They could go to New York and back, just be back time enough to go to class the next morning. But nevertheless, the boys would go to the mass meetings, and when we would get to breakfast in the dining hall the next morning, they could give us an account of what happened at the mass meeting. We didn't have to read the newspaper. We got the news from our classmates,
wow.
who were present at those particular activities.
Now, I'm glad you said newspaper, because you got to keep in mind to the listeners, around this time, we didn't have the internet.
No.
You didn't have social media, so you didn't have this fast pace of news spreading fast.
No.
So
you had word of mouth.
Now, what paper did y'all read the information from?
The Montgomery Advertiser.
Okay. Was that a black paper? Or was?
I believe it was. Now, you have to remember, Ms. Bell has been through a lot since those days.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
It was the Montgomery Advertiser, I believe.
Okay.
And let me tell you, I was really excited about African Americans in Montgomery who worked in the Caucasian homes.
Yes, ma'am.
They never lost their jobs.
Wow.
When their boycott took place, every black person over there, especially the males, who had any type of vehicle, we should say, a car or truck or anything that would move. Those people who worked for the Caucasian never lost their job, because the black people jailed, and they picked up those people every morning and took them to work.
Wow. You know, I
And that showed togetherness,
right.
and concern, and it also showed that you cared about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you care about each other, you're supposed to get up and help each other.
That's right. Be one community.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And it really strengthened the African Americans during those times.
I am just here marveling at your story because I've never spoken directly to someone that was in the vicinity of Montgomery doing the bus boycott.
I was there.
That is so.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to Dexter Avenue Church and see Dr. King?
Oh, sure. I went to Dexter Avenue every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
I shook his hand every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
What
because.
Take us there, I mean, Miss Battle. Please take us there.
It was so exciting. It was so exciting. We were excited. But now, as you would expect, in Hatchachapa, we went to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
My parents didn't ever join each other's church. My dad was Baptist and my mom was Methodist. So that's the way they lived, and that's the way, that's what happened. When they passed away, mm-hmm. I buried each one of them at their own church.
Wow.
But anyway, to Montgomery. Every Sunday, we had Sunday school in room 13 in Patterson Hall. That room is no longer in Patterson Hall, but Patterson Hall is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You had Sunday school every Sunday morning, room mm-hmm. 13 in Patterson Hall. When you finish Sunday school, you could look out the window, and the transportation from Dexter Avenue had gathered. They had sent transportation to pick us up, and we could go right out of Sunday school, get on the transportation, and go to Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. Reverend King knew that the dining hall was going to close at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So he would finish his message, come from behind the pew, stand right inside the rail, and then we would get up and go up and shake his hand and go get on the van and go back to the college.
Wow.
And that, it was so exciting.
Wow.
And
when you first start going to the church and seeing him preach, did you ever have a thought in your mind that this man would change the world?
No, but we were proud of what he had done during that time.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, during that time in Montgomery, his house was bombed.
Uh-huh.
And when his house was bombed, our president of Alabama State University had Reverend King and his family to move into the president's house for Alabama State.
Where did the president go?
Well, I really don't know. I believe they might have shared, and then the president. I don't ever recall knowing where our president went, whether he stayed in the house.
So Alabama State University housed Dr. King.
Yes,
And his wife, Coretta Scott King.
Yes.
After his house was bombed in Montgomery.
In Montgomery.
I've never heard that before.
Yes, well, that happened.
That is significant history for Alabama State.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It really is. Alabama State has helped a lot of people. And sometimes when we are helped, it doesn't hit the news media as it does when other people are helped.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So that's why it's so important to remember things that you really need to remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And that's why I wanted you here, so that you can share these things. So not all, everybody who's listening, they are now listening to a direct account of history,
yeah.
not what we
yeah.
read, not yeah. what we went to a museum to see.
Yeah.
You are speaking the history from a first-person account, and that's so amazing. So in 1962, after graduating from Alabama State in 57, you went back home to Hatchachapa.
Yes.
And you taught there for 5 years.
No, I taught in Hertzboro, Alabama.
Hertzboro.
That's where I went
okay.
to high school.
Okay.
We didn't have a high school in Hatchachapa.
Okay.
Hatchachapa is 10 miles from Hertzboro, but we were transported during those times by school bus.
Okay.
Okay, we rode the yellow school bus.
Yes, ma'am.
And I went back there, and I worked with the second grade
mm-hmm.
until 1962. 1962, I went to Dawson Elementary in Columbus, Georgia.
Now, at that time, the schools were still
segregated. Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in 1 second, but before I close out this first half, I do want to ask you, when you moved here, Columbus is still in the South, and you know the South was still working through the civil rights movement at the time.
Yes.
Did you see as much cooperation and community unity in Columbus that you saw in Montgomery?
Well, when I got to Columbus, and having gone through the importance of this situation in Montgomery, I really didn't pay it that much of attention.
Mm-hmm.
But you did have pretty good cooperation in Columbus.
Okay.
Because we knew that if it was happening in one community, it would spread to other communities. And mm-hmm. be prepared for it, because it's coming.
Now, were you living here when Dr. King came here and spoke at the Masonic Hall?
I was I believe I was. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. see, I had seen him a whole lot. I had seen him every Sunday
right,
in Montgomery.
Right, right.
It was like, it was not new for me to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with him, so
yes,
to speak.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Because he was a young guy.
Yeah.
When he started preaching at Dexter Avenue, he was in his 20s.
Oh, yes, he was. He was. And he walked around on our campus every day. Because one of his deacons at Dexter Avenue was our music teacher on mm-hmm. campus. And all of us freshmen went to this particular teacher who had some classes in music. And during that time, during my freshman year, it was really my sophomore year, I participated in the Marching Hornets and the band.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a chance to see Dr. Williams every day also, who was a deacon at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. And Reverend King walked around on our campus, you know, just like the rest of us walked
now, you
around.
You know, I'm a member of the greatest fraternity on earth,
oh, yes.
Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And of course, we know that's the same fraternity
and,
of Dr. Martin Luther King.
And it's a great fraternity along with all the other great fraternities.
All the other. I guess we could be politically correct for a little while, Ms. Battle.
Yeah, I like to see young men get involved in fraternities.
Yes, ma'am. So did King interact with the alphas there on campus quite a bit?
Well, I think that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I never heard anybody say a mean word about Reverend King.
Wow.
Because he was just a God-sent person.
Wow.
It was like he was our angel on our campus.
What was Miss Coretta Scott King like? What was she like?
Well, I didn't get a chance to know her as closely as I did Reverend King mm-hmm. because Reverend King just walked around on the campus like, you know, we had a gym on campus and he liked to go and exercise. Mm-hmm. We could always see him going from the president's house to the gym. And he just interacted with us on campus.
So it wasn't like a celebrity on campus.
No.
It's like he's the pastor.
He's, yeah. It's like he is one of us on campus.
One of us on
yes.
campus. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He so just amazing. Didn't have to go to class.
So amazing. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I am having one of the most amazing conversations ever with the phenomenal, the ground shaking, the legendary Miss Gloria Battle. Just so much grace and so much poise.
And I thank God I thank the Lord for having let me live through those days.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And I thank God that I went to Alabama State in September 1954.
It seemed like it was truly a blessing.
It was. It was. But now, I had been on that campus many, many times because I went with my mom.
Yes, ma'am.
And then my grandmom had gone to Alabama. I'm a third generation graduate of Alabama State, and my son was a fourth generation.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Well, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about working in the Muskogee County School District during the point of segregation as a black female. So we're going to hear Ms. Battle talk about that a little bit. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We'll be right back.
Dear John, I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to when you checked on me? I don't want to leave. But remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range today. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Conversation with Teddy Reese. If you missed the first half of this show, oh my, you need to go listen to it later on today on another station, because I tell you, Ms. Battle is sharing some amazing information today. History, our history, black history, women history, the movements in Montgomery, the boycotts, Dr. King living on the campus of Alabama State University after his house was bombed in Montgomery. Things I absolutely did not know, but I'm so glad that she shared this today, because it begins to continue the highlight of why HBCUs are so important in our society. I am a graduate, two-time graduate of HBCU, Albany State University, and Florida A&M, and I know how they impacted my life. I can only imagine the guidance and the refuge and the support and the security that HBCUs provided Black students that were involved, actively involved, in the civil rights movement for the fight for this entire country. And that is just so amazing. Ms. Battle, again, I'm so honored to have you here today. Let's talk a little bit about moving to Columbus. And work it. Well, go ahead.
Okay. I also want you to know I graduated from Atlanta University with my degree in library service.
Oh, now y'all who don't know that. Now, that was before it became Clark Atlanta. It was just
That's
Atlanta
right.
University.
It was Atlanta University. Atlanta University was on this side of the street, and Clark was right across the street
right.
over here.
Right. And so you had Atlanta University, Clark University.
And Morehouse.
Morehouse and Spelman.
Yes, you did. All
and
four.
And ITC.
Yeah,
ITC was there at the time, and so you know the AU Center in Atlanta is it has a very significant history.
Yes, it does, and it taught African Americans how to get along with each other and other people too.
Lord have mercy, we need that curriculum today.
Oh yeah, we do.
Just mail it to everybody.
And then when you got in, like when we would leave class and go to our rooms in the dorm. Everybody was in the same dorm, but you either went to Atlanta University or across the street to Clark.
Right.
Yes.
One family.
Yeah.
Now, so you started at Dawson Elementary in 62 as an elementary school teacher. And that was during the time of segregation.
Yes.
What was it like to be a African-American female educator during the time of segregation?
It was great timing. Mm-hmm. For you to know who you are and how to help other people and how to help other parents help their children. Mm-hmm. It was a time when you did a lot of encouraging. You know, like, you knew that children needed some extra help once they left the classroom, left you at mm-hmm. school. So PTA was good at that time. Parents came out once a month to see how their children were doing in school and to see how they were. What kind of manners they had at school. And it was a good time for teachers to help the children to be the best that they could be and to help the parents be the best that they could be. Because the home and the school had to work together to get the children where they need to be in life.
It sounds like it was a cultural charge.
It was. It was. You didn't have all this killing going on among African Americans that you have now. You know, sometimes it bothers me to listen to the news in the morning because it seems like some of our people have hurt somebody else. And it's not necessary.
It's not necessary.
And
did any of the children ever inquire as to why they couldn't be with the white kids?
Well, I don't remember any children. Now, we have to remember a lot of things has changed, mm-hmm. and a lot of things mm-hmm. has changed for Ms. Bell also, but mm-hmm. I just don't remember us being concerned about what the white folks were doing.
So it was a joyous environment.
Oh, sure it was. Sure it was.
Okay.
And you enjoyed inviting the parents to PTA, and parents came out to check with the teacher, how is my child doing? And if the children were not doing well, you let the parents know, and that would soon cease.
You know, a lot of people feel that today's academic curriculum for our children has been whitewashed with the fact that we don't discuss Black people until slavery, and Black history has happened way before slavery. What was the curriculum like at the segregated schools? Did we go more into Black history?
Well, we did. I can't really say if I, for lack of a better word right now, but if I books, I would say, our third grade readers and the books we had in our class, I don't know if they were different from the ones that the Caucasian students had or not. Because for some reason or another, we weren't concerned about that. We were concerned about helping our children get to the top.
And I could imagine
with good manners and good behavior and remembering, you know, keep your brains right. functioning. You know, quit saying I can't remember because you can remember.
You can. I can imagine the faculty and staff at those segregated schools was probably more like a HBCU reunion.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And see, when we would have faculty meetings, we spoke about the character of our students in our particular class.
Wow.
And we were eager to get back to our children. Say, I had the third grade. Mm-hmm. I was eager to get my children to the fourth grade. Whatever the second grade teacher had given them, I was eager to grab that, move them through the curriculum for third graders, and be sure that they are great fourth grade students.
Wow. Now, when integration happened, do you recall your assignment being difficult, or were you moved to a different school?
No. I was at Dawson Elementary, and when integration came about, I had received my master's degree in library service. Mm-hmm. So at that time, elementary schools began to have librarians in their schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I was qualified to be the librarian at my school. So I became the first librarian at Dawson Elementary School.
Wow.
And it was just a joy to work across all of the grade levels with all of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a chance to know many, many more parents. Because, see, at first you just knew your third grade parent.
Right, right.
But now I knew all the parents in the school. For instance, the Scunyers.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Scunyers, who passed away not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
was my nurse when my child was born at the medical center in 1959.
Wow.
Then, when I was at Dawson in with the third graders, I taught her to, I taught Johnny L. Jr. and Susan in the third grade.
You know, I have a Scunyers story, too.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. And my story is, my last year of law school, my third year of law school, Ms. Scunyers' granddaughter, Lillian Scunyers,
uh-huh.
became a first-year law student at Florida A&M.
Okay.
And she and I connected because we were both from Georgia.
But uh-huh.
she would talk about Columbus. And not only that, one of my professors, Professor Duncan, was the husband of Elizabeth Lunsford, Lula Lunsford, Huff's sister.
Okay.
And she used to tell me about her family here
uh-huh.
in Columbus. That was before I knew God was going to move me here.
Oh, uh-huh.
This was going to be my home.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Middle Georgia.
Okay.
I grew up in Middle Georgia. Yes, ma'am. And
what was your town?
Gordon. Little town.
Okay.
Wilkinson County. Very, very small town.
Near Macon?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Just east of Macon. I was
okay.
a country boy, grew up playing gardens. And,
yeah, well, see, Hatchetchumbo was a small town, too. We just had a flashing light.
That's all we had. And everything closed at 10. We have learned so much today, and time has come to an end on us here, Ms. Battle. But I do want to ask you one last question.
Yes, sir.
And that question is solely about you. When and it's kind of difficult to ask this question sometimes because I don't know another way to frame it, but when the Lord calls you home and it's time for you to be remembered, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as an African American woman who was sincerely interested in African Americans being able to read, write, and do arithmetic.
That is the making of a phenomenal educator. Just that combination right there.
That would take you in a way you need to go.
So full of passion.
That's right.
Ms. Battle, you are the epitome of class and poise and positivity.
Thank you. And
just phenomenal. Phenomenal woman.
Thank you.
Maya Angelou had to be talking about you when she wrote that poem. Because
I
swear
like
you walked in here
too.
Like you got oil wells pumping in your backyard, this battle. And
I like reading that poem too.
I love it. You know, a mentor told me a long time ago, said, Teddy, there's a thin line between self-confidence and arrogance. And that thin line is determined by the person who want to perceive it.
Yeah.
And I see self-confidence all over you.
Well, you have to have confidence in yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
This lady here taught us confidence. Like I said, this is my grandma.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm a third generation graduate of Alabama State. And Alabama State taught her. And, I mean, when you get through it, when Alabama State get finished with you, you are either well-educated or you are on your way somewhere else.
On your way somewhere. Well, you know, we can say that about a lot of ASU. I can certainly say that about the other ASU.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you.
Albany State University. You
That's
know, we got
right.
two phenomenal
and,
ASUs.
And listen, we have to be thankful for those days.
Yes, ma'am.
Because people were concerned about getting us educated so we could face these days.
That's right.
That's right.
Building for the future.
This is true.
You know, we all stand on the shoulders of giants, and there's so black women out here.
That's right.
And black men, too, that stand on your shoulders.
This is true.
And they are broad and
this
strong.
This is true.
Thank you so much for all you've ever done.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate you. And thanks for all that you are doing in Columbus.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese with the magnificent, phenomenal. I'm running out of words because this lady is so amazing. Gloria Battle, and I have had a wonderful conversation with her today, and I hope you enjoyed it. And make sure you join us next week on March the 10th. We're going to have another guest here, another African-American female. We're going to talk about women history. We're going to talk about leadership, and we're going to continue to blend in a little black history. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Talk to you soon. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and its radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcast.
Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.